Did you get my sister the praise report?
The praise report, but if you want to tell it, you can.
Okay. Okay. My sister, praise report on my sister Renee. She had her breast reduction surgery done yesterday. It was a medical necessity because she has been dealing. I have watched my sister suffer in pain for so many years. And we have been believing for God to deliver her from that.
Amen.
And hallelujah, she got delivered yesterday.
Thank you, Lord.
I love you, Nay. Don't get mad at me. They took, was the severity of it for my sister. They took 2 pounds from one and then took 2.2 pounds from the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to her last night. She called me last night when she got home. And I said, how do you feel? How do you feel? Do you feel any relief yet? And she said, oh, sis. I said, in your back, you know, because I'm thinking your back, you know. And she says, oh, sis, my shoulders. She said, my shoulders feel so much better.
Wow.
So instantly, even after the surgery and after driving 2 hours from Oklahoma City after having the surgery, she was thankful and had relief.
Mm-hmm.
Physical relief from the pain that she's had for years. So
Thank you, Jesus.
We are just so grateful and thankful.
Amen.
That he provided her relief.
Yes. Amen.
We've been asked to pray for Lornell's cousin, Max Thompson, who had 2 heart attacks caused by a blood clot in his lungs.
Okay. All right. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do come before you and we do love you and appreciate you, Father, the way that you are with us in every circumstance and situation. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, for what you've done for Renee, Lord God, how you've brought this procedure into her life and provided for it and given these medical professionals the ability to bring help to people who need it, Father God. Thank you for that. We pray, God, for a supernaturally blessed and quick recovery with no complications whatsoever. And we pray, God, that you be glorified in it, Father God. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. Father, we bring before you Max Thompson, Lord God. And we're thankful, Father, that we're praying for Max, Lord God, still being here on this earth, Lord. Many people who have heart attacks, they're not still here. And we're thankful, Father, that we can pray for Max, Lord God, on this side of heaven. We pray, Max, Lord, have supernatural recovery, Lord God. These heart attacks caused by blood clots in his lungs, Father, we want to speak to those blood clots, Father. We read in your word that, Jesus, you said if we have faith and we speak to a mountain, that the mountain would move. Well, Father, we believe that you're certainly able to cause blood clots to dissipate. We know that these medical professionals are doing everything in their power. But Father, we pray, Lord, that you would supernaturally intervene. We are asking for supernatural intervention, that these blood clots begin to dissolve and fade away, Father God. And we ask that it would be done in such a way that only you could receive the glory for it. We entrust him to you. Father, I pray for my friend Joe Pyatt, Lord God. I pray continued recovery for him, Lord God. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord God. I lift before you our listeners, Father, that maybe they didn't give us our prayer request, but they, Lord, you know, Lord God. You know their situations. You know their needs, Lord God. You know those who are suffering in pain, Lord God, in joint pain in particular, Father. I call that out to you. I pray relief. I pray they begin to feel a warmth on their body right now. That is you, Lord Jesus, touching them right now, right where they are. And someone with a respiratory infection, right now, Lord Jesus, I pray as they begin to take deep breaths that, Lord, they just feel an immediate relief coming into their body and that you are touching them. You are being glorified, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for someone who's had an ear infection, Father God, that's been aching, Lord God, that they just begin to feel your presence upon them, that is leaving them, Father. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it right now. We give you all the praise, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.
We had a couple more come in. Did you see those? Okay. We also had our friend and faithful listener, Mignon Sayre, ask us to pray for Chris, who's in rehab. And our friend Lisa Taylor asks us to pray for healing for her daughter Ella.
Okay. Father, we bring these requests before you. And Father, we know that healing is your will and that recovery is your will. That Father, it is not your will for any of us to be bound up and subject to addictions or issues or problems, Father God, but it is your will for us to only be surrendered to your Lordship, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for recovery programs, Lord God, but you are the one who brings the recovery. And so we pray your anointing destroy every yoke of bondage, remove the oppressive spirits, Lord God, that are surrounding people, individuals, Lord God. We pray that this recovery be complete and total. You said if anyone be in Christ, they're a new creation, and old things pass away and all things become new. That's what we're believing you for. And for healing, Lord God, for this precious daughter, Father, we just believe for a complete and total work of restorative healing. Father, whether it involves healing or a miracle, we know that you are the God who can do it. And it is your will. It is your will to heal, Father. Your word is clear. And we appeal to you on that basis, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs and wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here at the Promise Center in Elk City, Oklahoma.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Bart Ison Ford in Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily. All new models and great savings. Now that's the Barbara Dyson difference. BarbaraDysonFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The source of your guidelines is something that should be examined. It has to be greater than the latest, greatest fad. Our world turns on popular opinion. We tend to want what everyone else has. You can choose what you want, but you cannot choose the consequences of what you want. Guidelines will help you make the right choice. The source of your guidelines will determine what your life produces.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for this morning is Pastor D. Light Dwight Shepherd. His title for this morning is Jewels from James.
Jewels from James. The book of James, God's holy word. And if you weren't able to join us earlier in the program, we're in the book of James in chapter 1. And verses that you may have heard before, and if you haven't, you certainly need to hear them. I'm going to repeat them here in chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers. That means Christians. My fellow Christians, whenever you face trials of many different kinds, why? Look at the first word of verse 3 in the NIV. It says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance or patience. You know that the testing of your faith develops something. It's like, you know, I don't like to go through things just to go through things. I mean, can you imagine going to the dentist and you got a bad tooth? And they give you one of those shots, you know, which is usually like the worst part of the whole experience. And they give you the shots, right? And then you get out of there and you're like, wait a minute, they didn't pull the bad tooth. They gave me the shots, but they didn't pull the bad tooth. I went through all that for nothing. Sometimes, listen, here's one of the most trying things about trials is that we forget that the trying of our faith will bring about the fruit of patience. Somebody say, you ever hear anybody say this? Don't pray for patience. You ever heard anybody say that? Do you know that's one of the stupidest things you could ever utter out of your face? Let me give you another scripture. Let me qualify that statement before you tune me out. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, and self-control. Patience. It's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. If I said to you, don't pray for patience, how about if I said it this way? Don't pray for the fruits of the Holy Spirit be manifest in your life. Wouldn't you go, why? Why would I not want the fruits of the Holy Spirit manifest in my life? Obviously, we do want the fruit of the Holy Spirit manifest in our life. So I need to pray for patience. Here's why people say that. They say, don't pray for patience, man. You'll have trials. Because in trials, that's where you develop patience. Well, I thought you said you wanted the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I do. Well, then you're going to have to go through the trials to develop that. Don't want to work for it. You know, it's like, I want a six-pack abs. Well, do you really? Quit drinking six-pack, start doing some exercise. You know, there's more than one reason to quit drinking six-pack. I don't care if it's six-pack Dr. Pepper. You know, but if you want the results, you go through the process. And here, the fact of the matter is this. In life, whether you pray for patience or you don't, you're going to have trials. And they're not going to stop. You're going to be having trials as long as you're on the face of this earth. When you get to heaven, there won't be any. Don't get in a hurry, though, because God's got work for you. But as long as we're on this earth, we're going to have things that are stretching us to grow. That's what these trials are. The Passion Translation says, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy you can. In other words, you can experience the anointing of the Lord in a way when you have situations that are bigger than you than you don't experience otherwise. I've had times in my life where I had to believe God for the next gallon of milk that I was going to get. And God used those times in my life, and it was not a week. If it was, boy, it was a long one. I'm talking about long period of time where I had to constantly have my faith stretched out, believe in God for his provision, even just for the basic needs of life. I'm not kidding. But what it did was it worked a work in me. It worked a work in me that helped me to grow. And my faith grew and continued to grow and continued to grow. And as my faith grew, God's provision in my life expanded. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying by any means that he's finished with that. I hope and pray he's not. But we have to grow into things. We have to keep growing. So here James says, let patience, you know, he says perseverance must finish its work so that you can be mature and complete and not lacking anything. See, I want to be mature and complete and not lacking anything. I just don't want to have to go through the trial to get the perseverance. And remember this, patience is not, okay, I'll just sit back and wait for God. I don't know how long he's going to take. I'm going to tell you how long it's going to take if that's your attitude of patience. It's going to take forever, literally forever. You're never going to get it. You want me how? You want me prove it to you? Watch this. Perseverance must finish its work. The King James says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be made mature, entire, and lacking nothing. Let patience. So you cooperate with patience. You say, what is patience? Patience is perseverance. And perseverance, I like this word, tenacity. It's bulldog. I ain't quitting. I'm trusting God. I'm speaking his word. I'm not caving into my feelings, even though it seems like that all around me it's just all trial. It's only seems that way. It's not really that way. It seems like it, though. Well, quit seeming like it. Start looking at it differently, because he tells us that we get to consider it. We get to decide how it affects us. And so let perseverance finish its work. What am I supposed to do in the meantime? Here's a promise for you before I move on to what we're supposed to do. Galatians 5:9. You can write it down. We'll look at it later, whatever. It says this. It says, let us not become weary in well-doing, because in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'm going to give it to you a different way. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if what? We don't give up. What if we do give up? I believe that scripture implies that if you give up before you receive the fullness of what you're believing for, you don't receive it. It's like I planted a garden. I want some okra. I got okra seed, man. I go out there and I'm being real patient. I've waited like a month. And them plants are like this tall, or, you know, some of them are, maybe I'm not that patient. Maybe I planted it and the next day I want my okra. So I go out there and it's not there. So you know what I do? I start digging. I'm digging up my seed, trying to figure out what's going on with my okra. And by doing that, by being impatient, wanting it my way, my time, I am literally sabotaging my own harvest. And I have to go back to the, if I dig up my seed, what do I need to do? That mean I never get it? No, but it does mean this. I need to go back and replant that seed. And I need to water that seed and be patient with that seed. And the seed that we're planting and watering during trials are the words of our mouth. You're living in a word-created, word-dominated, word-controlled world. And our words matter. If you don't believe that, you need to go read the Proverbs about, like, you know, a man's life is filled with good things. As surely, the words of his mouth fill his life as surely as the work of his hands. You know, evil man trapped by a sinful talk, but a righteous man saves his life by his words. It's over and over in the Proverbs. And Jesus said, John, or Matthew 14, 12, I think, or 12, 14, I don't remember. He said, for every idle word you speak, you can give an account for. Idle words are words that are not faith words. He said, put away corrupt communication. What's corrupt? It's tainted. It's not whole. It's not wholesome. We need to be speaking faith words. So here, James says, count it joy. You're going through trials. Let patience have its work. In other words, cooperate. Don't try to fix it. Get out of it yourself. Trust the Lord. Seek the Lord. See what he wants to do. So here's what we have to do. Here's our part. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, that would be all of us. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. In other words, God doesn't chew you out for asking him for wisdom. Does it tell us that in your trial, ask God to get you out of it? Ask God to get you out of it. No, that's what we tend to do. But what does the word tell us to do? It doesn't say cry out to God to get you out of it. It says cry out to God for wisdom. That's where I think I'm going to go back to that message I talked about. Instead of asking God to get me out of the fire, I need to ask God to join me in the fire, giving me the wisdom that I need. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. He gives generously to all without finding fault. Here's the promise of God. Four words. It will be given. Is there any room for doubt in that? If you ask God for wisdom with a sincere heart, you ask God for wisdom. I mean, you're going through it. Oh, God, I don't understand. Oh, God, I don't know what to do. If you will sincerely allow patience to have its work, continue to persevere, keep trusting God, keep speaking out of your face, words of faith, Call God good because he is. Thank him for his mercy even if you don't see it. Thank him for his goodness. Recount in your mind and with your words every wonderful thing you can think of about God. Start giving him words of thanks and words of praise. I guarantee you one thing, you'll get out of that trial a whole lot faster by thanking him and praising him than you will by murmuring and complaining. So he says, ask for wisdom. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is when God tells you what you need to know. Most of the time, God's wisdom is manifest in this way. You're asking God what to do, and he tells you what to say. You ever notice that? You're in a trial, and one word, you just get this word from God, and you start speaking what he told you. And man, even before you see the circumstance change out here, it changed in here. Because God spoke to me and said, oh, wow, now I got it. And so you start speaking what God tells you. See, that's why James says the thing you need in a trial is not relief from the trial physically. He's the thing you need in a trial more than anything else is that word from God, that wisdom from God. I like to think of wisdom like this. Wisdom is me being able to view something from God's perspective. Because I only got my eyes. I see what I see. And over in the scriptures, we're reminded that what we can see with our physical eyes is not the whole picture. So we need to ask God for wisdom. He said, ask God for wisdom. He won't find fault with you. And verse 6, here's something else. Look at the first word of verse 6. So 5 tells us, ask for wisdom. It'll be given. That's a promise. Verse 6, but, something's coming. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. And that man who don't believe and he doubts, he's like a, don't let that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. Anything. He's double-minded, unstable in all that he does. Could it be, I hope you don't believe that it's coincidental, that James starts out talking about trials and your perspective of trials and how you need to make the choice to consider a trial as an opportunity to experience God's goodness. And in that, knowing that this trial is going to help you develop more persistent, perseverant faith so that you can go through more stuff and accomplish and see God move on your behalf. He goes, man, it's an opportunity for, it's like a test. When you're in school, did you love it when the teacher said, we're having a test Friday? No, you probably went, oh, you know what a test is? It's an opportunity to advance. Nobody got a driver's license without passing a test. A lot of people didn't pass the test the first time. What happens if they gave up? They don't get the driver's license. Most people don't pass first time. I think they do that on purpose. You know why? I mean, my granddaughter Haley, she went to go get her driver's test, and before she left the parking lot, the officer that was giving her test, they were already talking to her about rescheduling. I'm not kidding. And it's just their practice. They just literally are not going to pass you on the first time. If you're like a high school kid, they're not going to pass you on the first time. And you know what I think about that? I think it's inconvenient. But I think it's really actually really good. Because you know what it does? It causes them to have to persevere. It's not, you know, too many times we like to have everything just handed to us on a platter. You know, we don't want God just to give us grapes. We'd like to lay on the couch while he feeds them to us. Let's be honest. We like it to just, everything in life to just come easy peasy, lemon squeezy, you know? But the things that in life that are worth having are worth persevering for, working for, believing for. If it's easily obtained, generally speaking, it's easily lost. But what you strive and fight and persevere to accomplish, it generally has value to you that you won't let go of it easily. So, like a, you know, you take two kids. Here's a kid that's in a family where they can't buy him a car. They won't buy him a car. He has to work, and he works, and he starts out with an old beater jalopy that barely even run. It's a Rolls Canardly. You know, the rich kid over there got a Rolls Royce for his 16th birthday, and this kid got a Rolls Canardly. He said, well, I haven't heard of those. Yeah, it rolls down one hill, Canardly get up the other. You ever had one of those? Yeah. And, you know, you start out like that, and he works and perseveres and sweats, and he earns, or he or she earned their way to something better. Well, they appreciate it. I'm not saying that you can't appreciate something that's given to you freely, but you have to learn how to appreciate things. So here, James is, in a way, telling us, you're being given, when you're facing trials of various different kinds, you're being given an opportunity for growth. You're being handed a test. And if you pass this test, you're going to be more mature than you were on the other side of it. And that maturity and that perseverance in your life is going to make you more stable. He goes, now here's what you do. He goes, I'm going to tell you how to pass the test. Ask the one who's got all the answers. When you're in the middle of the test and you're taking, you say, oh God, I don't know the answer. Ask the teacher. And the teacher, in this case, is God, and he'll give you the answers. Now, I will say this, he's probably not going to give you the answer you want. He's going to give you the answer you need. He's like that. He's a good God. He's not a spoiler. I mean, he knows how to comfort us and coddle us when we need it. But most of the time, it's not coddling we need. We need to be provoked to growth most of the time. So he says, count it all joy. You give any trials, opportunity for growth. He goes, but you got to be patient. Let perseverance have its work. So keep persevering no matter what. Don't back off. Don't back off. Keep pecking away with your faith. Trust in God, believe in God, speaking good of God. You see, it ain't changing. It don't matter. I'm still, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. You know, whatever word God gives you, that's what you do. You get that wisdom word, and you just persist in speaking that wisdom word. And here's what he says. He says, you know, because when you ask for wisdom, don't be like the guy that's double-minded. He's like a wave tossed about to and fro. He won't receive, the Bible literally says, he will not receive anything from the Lord. So when you ask for wisdom, if your mind is already made up about what you're going to do about the situation, I'm going to give you some good advice. Don't even bother to ask for wisdom because you're not going to get it. God is not in the business of blessing your plans. The Lord is my shepherd. Not I'm the Lord's shepherd. Come on, we've all been guilty of it, telling God how to fix it, what to do, when to do, and why to do. But when we actually get relief and when we actually get breakthrough is when we're surrendered to God, whatever you want to do, Lord, whatever you want to do. Even Jesus had the temptation to not follow through with Father God's way of doing things. You say, I don't know about that, Pastor. Well, you read about how he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he prays for a whole hour. It takes him an hour to pray. Here's what he prayed. 3 times he did it. 3 hours. Father, if there's any other way, let this cup of suffering pass from me. Pause. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus was admitting that his personal feelings were different than what he knew the will of the Father was. And he surrendered that. I tell you that Jesus was crucifying his flesh before they crucified his flesh. In the garden, he was saying, not my will, but yours. In asking for wisdom, we've got to have that attitude. I want to leave you with one more nugget here from the book of James before we walk out of here. What to do in a trial. Look at verse 19. It's the same chapter, and it's all good. I encourage you, go read the book of James. He says this, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger, can I use a different word? Man's frustration does not bring about the righteous life that God desires or requires. You know the most tempting thing for us, for me, to do in a trial is to become impatient, become frustrated, not wanting to listen, but wanting to tell. Now, maybe you're not guilty of that, but I am. I want to start telling God what he needs to do rather than listening to God, what he's trying to grow in me. He said, every man should be quick to listen, slow to speak. In other words, don't speak until you know what you should speak. I heard somebody say this, until you can speak the language of faith, you need to learn to speak the language of silence. Because every word you say can and will be used against you by the devil. God's looking for faith-filled words to use on your behalf, and the devil's looking for fear-filled frustration words that he can accuse you before God. And if God intervenes on your behalf while you're speaking fear and doubt and unbelief, that would make him an unjust God. And he's not going to do that. Our words are going to determine the outcome, but our words are going to be determined by our outlook. So when we're in a trial, we're going through it. What are we going to do? We're going to ask God for wisdom. We're going to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and then this third, slow to get angry. Don't get angry at people. Maybe you think people caused your problem. The Bible says we're not warring against flesh and blood. We're warring against principalities, power, spiritual wickedness, rulers, high places. Don't blame it on people. Even if people seem to be the problem, they wouldn't be the problem if it wasn't for someone pulling their puppet strings. Take up the battle where the battle really is. Get God involved in it. And don't pray. When he said pray for your enemies, he's not talking about calling down fire, Elijah. You know, you're not Elijah. He said pray for those that persecute you. And pray for those that despitefully use you. Bless those that curse you. You say, well, that don't make sense. No, but it sure makes results. You mentioned that thing over there, that calendar. What does it say again? I think it's got Neva. Lord, speak well of your enemies. You made them. I don't think that applies to me. You want to know why? Because I can't think of anyone who is my enemy except Satan. And I'm not going to speak well of him. And I mean that. I cannot think of a human being on the face of this earth that's my enemy. There may be people that hate me. I'm unaware of it. I don't know about it. There are people that have done some terrible things, spoke terrible things about me. I'd let it go. It's in God's hands. I don't have any enemies. As far as I'm concerned, I have no enemies. Not flesh and blood enemies. So you can do that. How do you do that? That's a choice. It's a simple choice. Give it to God. Let it go. That's your jewel of the day. Give it to God. Let it go. Be quick to listen. If you're in a trial, you're frustrated, you don't know what to do, go spend some time sitting with God and listening. Prayer, in order to really be prayer, is not me having a little talk with Jesus, telling him all about my troubles. Great song, but it's not good theology. I need to, tell the Lord about my troubles, but spend time listening to what he has to say about it. And sometimes the best way to listen, sitting in silence is great. A lot of people are afraid of silence. Their minds go, woo, all over. But you need to learn how to be silent before the Lord. And you also need to learn how to just let the word speak to you. Amen. Father, bless our listeners today. Bless each one of us. Father, we know that we have trials. We face trials. But God, you've given us instruction manual. How to respond, what to do, how to think about it. We entrust it all into your mighty hands, God. We give our faith and our hope and our trust and our love to you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that there's nothing that can come into our lives today that you haven't already got a beautiful plan in place for, and that we have all assurance that you are working together in all things for our good. We thank you for it, Jesus, right now. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Do you have the will ready, sis? We're going to spin the wheel for the book of August, and we are taking a break from the blessing books. We will let you know whenever we start them back up. Mandy is the winner. Got the blessing book for this month. Okay, y'all. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. And you already know I'm going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our awesome brother in Christ, Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. Y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.